chapter 27, verse 10. I'm going to have Dimitri stand and read it for us today.
Thou my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Today I ask that you open the eyes of the heart of my brothers and my sisters and your people to receive, to see you, your words in a supernatural way. I also ask that your presence enlighten them and give them insights about you, O Lord. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Nature has a way of showing us the circle, the cycle of life. We are born. Then we become children, teenagers, and so forth. We have life experiences. We have marriage, we have divorce, we have kids, we have parents who mistreat us, co-workers, alcoholic, and so forth. Your mom has the same thing. Could be pornography they start with, or alcoholism, misconducts, and life goes on. Everyone in your family has one of these charts in their life. It looks something like this. Looks something like this, up and down in life. We all have one of those. Hi, my name is Suzanne, with a Z. I'm a twin, and my twin sister name is Susette. Today, I'm going to share with you some memories, part one of times when I was in a very difficult position that only God could bring me out of it. I must admit that I did not know anything about God. I only knew fear. I was born in Trinidad and Tobago. It's next to Venezuela. My mom left us there with some nieces, aunts, and uncle. And then one day, she sent for us. She lived in Puerto Rico. So she sent for me and my twin sister, and we moved to Puerto Rico. And she abandoned us there in a house. She abandoned us with two older sisters and one older brother. Keep in mind that my two older brothers and my two older sisters and my older brother, they're still underage. As time goes by, the rent is not paid. So she left us in the house with no rent paid, no food, no electricity, and no running water. At this time, the house is becoming a filth, dirty, upside down. We go to the bathroom in the kitchen sink. We go to the bathroom in the wash bowls in the bathroom. We go in the bathtub in the bathroom. If not, we go in every corner of the house to go to the bathroom. All of us did that. It comes to a time that things was biting me under my feet. I don't even know what it was, but it was so filthy. Worms, fly, roaches, mice, cockroaches, you name it, it was there. Little worms I used to see walking around on the ground. And if that wasn't enough, we didn't have parents to parent us in our life at that time. Then here comes the landlord, banging on the door for his rent, banging on the door for his rent. We have no money. We cannot open the door. So we stuck ourselves in the corner of the house until he's gone. Sometimes my sister will find maybe a little gallon of water, and she will have us take a shower with that. Both of us, with this 1 gallon of water, we used to take a bath with that. Then we'll go to the neighbor houses. We go to the backyard of the neighbor house. They usually hang clothes in the islands. You know, they dry it outside in the sun. And we used to steal the kids' clothes from the line, and we'd wear them. But what used to happen, we used to go outside to play. And then the kids would say, Mom, that's my outfit. And we would say, you're just jealous that we have new clothes. So as time goes on, hunger is beginning to strike. And we were so hungry. We would go to the supermarkets, the major supermarkets, and I would take bread, butter, and milk. Just three things, so they wouldn't think I'm taking too much. So So as the time goes on, we started to go to Mom and Pa's little, you know, supermarket on the side, you know. And they would give us some potatoes, or, you know, pumpkin, something to give us. But that only goes so far. As hunger was, it was so intense, we started to eat from the trash can. Was our main food, was the trash can. So we used to go to the bakery, the little restaurants, and they have, like, leftover steak. They threw it out. The bakeries had cheese bread, and we used to have that for our lunch or whenever we could eat it. That's our main food. One day I gotten so sick, I started to faint and passed out. And in my head, all I'm hearing is my sisters and them saying, "Susan is dying, Susan is dying." And I did not remember anything else because I was gone. But I do have a sister. She shows up occasionally every 3 months or every 6 months she shows up. And when she shows up, she brings food and little knickknacks for us. That precise moment, my sister showed up. She bawled the shit. She screamed because I did not know what was happening. I was out of it. And she screamed, "Susan is dead. Susan is dead. My sister is dead." And they told me that she got a piece of bread and she put water in and she made it into a sauce, a puree. And she stick it into my mouth, and she poured the water into my throat. And I felt a little bit of movement. I guess I didn't die because I'm here today. So far and so on, I used to sit on the little banks, you know, on the side of the road. And I did not know who I was at that age. And I used to say, "I want to be like her. I want to be like him," because I don't know what I am. So I looked down on the ground, and there was a newspaper, a little magazine, like Time Magazine or something, filthy, dirty on the sand. And I picked it up, and I opened it, and there was just one clean page in that magazine. I ripped the page out. On that page, there was a Burger King, picture of a burger, huge Burger King burger. I took it, and I ripped out all the edges because it was advertisement and whatnot. I chew it up, put it in my mouth, chew it up, and I'm telling you, I taste the lettuce. I taste the onion. I taste that meat. It was so good. I swallowed it. I was satisfied. It had one time that my biggest fear was that we used to play with some kids down the street. They would have like 7 kids. And then the next time we go back, there were 4 kids. And we were like, "What happened to Mary Jane? And where are the rest of the kids?" And they would say, "Oh, DCSF took them." I was like, "Who is DCSF?" They say, "Oh, that's the people who take the children." I was like, "Ooh, well, you know, I don't want to play down here anymore because if they take us, we wouldn't see my mom again." And the other people I was afraid of was immigration. Immigration would take you, throw you in a truck, and send you back to your country. And then I was like, never going to see my mom again. So I was sad, and I went home, and hunger striking again, really hungry. And we used to eat from the trash for many months, for many years. Time going by, we just eaten from those trash cans, from people's houses, home, and backyards. But something happened to us one Christmas out of all the Christmas we have eaten from the trash cans. So this one particular Christmas, we usually we go out to the trash can around 11:30, 12:30 at night, because, you know, everybody's having a party. His family's over. So, you know, we have to give them time to, you know, wrap up the food and throw away what they don't want. So we wait, and the kids is our target because the kids will eat half of their stuff and throw it in the trash can. So that's our dessert there. So this one particular Christmas, we went out at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. And we had things like this. This is how we set up our boxes for Christmas time. We take boxes from the trash can. We will have boxes like these, a little bigger, right? And we have the smaller one, and we put the smaller one into the smallest one, and then we go around like this in a trash can. We put in food in there. It's like, today they call it the bento box. You know, section off the food and whatnot. So this particular Christmas, we went out to get some food, and we have all of the box, you know, and we know, and that road is like excellent because we have Caribbean people living there, Jamaicans, Trinidad, Mexican, Honduranian, all nation on our block. So it's a delight. So we had our box, and we went through the first trash can. No food. Okay. Me and my sister went through the other trash can. No food. Like, that's kind of weird. Third, fourth, fifth, no food. So then I say, well, let's go to the other side where the kids, DCSF takes the kids. So we went over there. We don't usually go there. No food. 2 blocks later, no food. By that time, we are so weak. We are hungry. Now we have to walk all the way back to my sister's house. So we was like, let's go, because my sister's going to get concerned about us. So we walk back weak, hunger, striking us. We got home, and we sat down. Carol, there's no food in the trash can. How do you mean there's no food in the trash can? I said, there's no food in the trash can. All those kids that were so greedy this year, they didn't even leave us anything, no pine, no candy, no trees, no nothing. There's no food in the trash can. So then a thought came into my mind. I said, hey, remember that house up the street? That big house where there's gates, and we call it the rich people house? Let's go there. They was like, wait, they're going to call the cops on us? No, they're going to call immigration on us? They're going to call DCSF on us? So then I desire a plan. We made a plan. Okay, we're going to dress up in all dark clothes. And then we already dark. Then I said, let's dress up all in dark clothes. We find all the dark clothes we could find. We are dark. It's nighttime. The gate is black, so it's easy, and we're so skinny, we look like the rail of the gate. So then we become ninjas. So as ninjas, we run like a cat, walk like a cat, run like a cat, running up the street to that lady, to whoever was living in that house. So we get there, we're like, be careful, they might have dogs in there. So we take up one branch, and we threw it in the yard. No dogs. Okay, let's get a bigger stick. We lift up a bigger stick, and we threw it in the yard. Run! So we run. No one came out. It's like, good. This is good. They have no animals. So we walked through the gate, and we opened the trash can. We took this big bag, heavy. Help me, help me. So we got the bag, and we ran to my sister's house, and we threw it in there. We came back. We got the other bag, and we threw it in the house, and we came back and got the third bag, and we threw it in the house. Turn off the candle. Turn off the candle. Because we've never been to this house, so we have to give time to see if they're going to follow us. So we waited half an hour, and hunger started walking in our stomachs, and we rip open one bag. And I'm like, turn off the candle, turn off the candle. Oh, my God. Do you know what was in those bags? Those three bags. Those bags, we sat down, we waited for 2 or 3 hours before we opened the rest of the bags, because just in case. And I'm like, first, I was afraid of DCSF. Then I was afraid of immigration. Now I'm afraid I'm going to get arrested. Because in that bag, when we opened all those bags, there were brand new clothes with tags on them. Clothes, shoes to fit us, pants, deodorant, toothpaste, food in boxes, food in cans, food in bags, blankets, pillowcases. Anything we could think about was in those bags. And we thought, I say, you know what? Now we're going to jail, because now we have evidence. They're going to say we stole the clothes that have tags on it. We broke in and entering. We're never going to see mom again. Then we started to think, who's going to thank those people? Me, never. They're going to arrest us. So we didn't thank the people or none of them. It's so amazing that those clothes was, you know, what really caught my attention was they all fit us. Even my sister, and she's big up here, who in the world measures her to get a bra for her? So as time goes on, my sister, who comes by every 3-6 months, she showed up. Oh, let's move from this place. I was like, cool, we're moving from this place. So we got everything we had. We threw it in the truck, which is zero, and we start driving to look for apartments for rent. We went to several houses, and she will ask us, do you like this house? No. Half an hour later, an hour later, 2 hours later, do you like this house? No. Do you like this one? No, I don't like that house. Then we saw one that we liked. We like that house. So we stopped. We went in. Wow, this is such a cute little house. It had running water, refrigerator, some snacks in the cupboards, toilets could flush. bed, had blankets on it and everything. I said, this is our home. So we went in, we took a shower, we had a great time. Just, you know, first time we had such a clean bed. As time goes by, the neighbor called the landlord. Hey, so-and-so, did you rent that apartment to the people next door? He's like, no. A couple of weeks passed by, he showed up, an old man. I remember scratching his head. And he looked at my sisters and we were on the stairs. You know, I have lived, this is what he said. I have lived for so many years and I've seen so many things. And I've never seen a family so in such a great need with such great hunger that could just move into somebody's house, don't even make a phone call, no deposit, no contract, and come to live in the house. So then he told her, you know what, next week, Monday, I want you guys to dress up in the most, tell the kids and them to dress up in the most disgusting clothes they have. And we're like, that's all we got anyway. Then he said, I want them to behave as bad as they can behave. And we were like, cool. So the reason why he wanted us to be bad, he said, so wherever he's sending them, they could take them faster. So we got in this car, I don't know where my sister got it from. We got in this car, and we drove to an office building. And we get there, remember the guys to behave as bad as you can. So we ripped that place up, man. We were bad. So all of a sudden, she said, let's go. Okay, let's go. We get into the supermarket. I'm like, Carol, why are we at the supermarket? We don't steal food in the daytime. She's like, no, you can have whatever you want. I was so confused. So anyway, we got ice cream, lollipop, popcorn, Cheerios, you name it. We got all the stuff we like, and we pack up into the supermarket cart. So I'm thinking, how in the world she's going to pass through that in the front? So then I noticed she took out some money from her purse. They were purple, pink, and green that I remember. It was food stamps. This old man had some kind of connection to these people in the office. They give us food stamps. What a delight. Wow. So we had food. As time goes by, now we are 14, 15. I think 14, 15, there's some memory lanes. And my mom sent for us. Wow, a light bulb went off in my head. We are going to see mom. She lives in St. Croix, Virgin Islands. So, yes, in the house. Yes. Nobody to take care of us. As time goes by, she sent for us. She's like, cool. So we get to the airport, and we landed in the St. Croix, Virgin Islands. Man, we kissed my mom up from head to toe. We kissed my mom up. We were so excited to see her all in the car. We couldn't let her go. You talk about idol worshiping. Man, we worship our mom all the way to her house. We got there. We walk up the stairs, and we're like, wow, mom. It's like a duplex upstairs downstairs. Like, wow, mom, you live here? She said, yes. Okay. So we took our skanky little bags and skanky little suitcase. And I remember we put our little skanky little bag on her table. She had a glass table. Don't put those bags on my table. That cost me thousands of dollars. It's like, what did you say, mom? I think I had a nervous breakdown. I said, mom, how much are your chairs? How much is the stuff in the kitchen? What did you pay for this? I think I had a nervous breakdown at the time. So we pick up our little skanky little bag, the same day, pick up our skanky little bag and a skanky little suitcase, and we walk out the door. Where are you guys going? We want to go back to Puerto Rico to eat from the trash can. We want to go back to our sisters. How dare you live like this? We eat from the trash can every day. We are nasty. We are filthy. We've been called names. We have disgrace to the society. And you are living like this? You are a monster. We hate you. Call DCSF. That's part two of my story. So now as time goes by, we're in high school. One day, my hopes are gone now. I have nothing. My heart became stones. I hated everything. I hated everybody. And most, I hated me. Look at my body. It has changed. I hate it. I don't like myself. The pain was so great. I wish I was never born. I could kill myself. Then I said, yes, I'm going to kill myself. I looked downstairs from where I was from the house, and there was like a division of wires and piles of metal. I said, great. If I throw myself down, I'm going to cut myself in half, and then it's over. So I throw myself down out the window. Well, I was so bruised and hurt. I went back up the stairs like a hurt puppy. My head was hurting me. I was like, oh, my God. I was in fever for a whole week to 2 weeks. I was like, man, trying to kill yourself is not easy. So I recuperated. Then at another time, I did the same thing. I was like, man, they didn't say dying was this hard. I was like, you know, I'm going to put off dying for a little bit here. Because I'm always in pain when I intend to do it. So one day, I passed by this church. And behind the church, there was a hill. I said, yeah, that's the one I'm going to use. I'm going to kill myself there. Because when I'm done, I'm going to crush my skull because I see how the structure of the hill goes. So I got up the next morning. I went to school. I did my first session of class. Then it was lunchtime. I went to have lunch. I didn't know why I went to have lunch because I'm going to kill myself anyway. So I sat there on a little concrete stoop. The sun was so hot. My head was whoa, my head. I was like, well, this is the last day of my life. And as I sat on the stoop, I noticed somebody coming, but I didn't care because it was so far away. Then I look up again. I see them coming closer. And I got angry. I said, don't you dare come next to me. I don't want you. Just get out. Leave me alone. That was in the school. He said, it was a boy. He said, I'm sorry. I'm just coming to tell you the Lord said don't kill yourself. I was like, what? It was like a record scratched in my head. How did you know I was going to kill myself, I say. He said, were you really going to kill yourself? I was like, yeah. And then he started telling me about this Jesus man and how Jesus claimed he killed himself for me. I was like, who in the world is going to kill themselves for me? I can't even get my mother to care for me. And all about Jesus, and I'm like, still in my mind, that was my little official. How in the world did he knew I was going to kill myself? So, okay, he said, told me something about church on Sunday, blah, 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 blah. I said, okay, I'll go. He said, promise me you will not kill yourself. I said, okay, I'll wait until Sunday to get my gift. So Sunday came excited, went to the van to pick me up, and I went to church. Everybody was noisy in that place. So I sat down. And the service is moving on, hallelujah, whatever they do in the church. And the service is about to come to an end. So I poked him. I said, hey, didn't you say I was supposed to meet this Jesus man and these gifts you say he was going to give me? So he got up and said, hey, pastor, there's a young lady here who wants to accept the Lord. I was like, yeah. So he said, come on up. So I came up, and he said, you want to accept the Lord? And he asked me my name. I said, yeah. So then he said, okay, lift your hands up in the air and repeat these words after me. I was like, okay. So I lift my hands up, and I say these words he claimed to say, but I felt some tears started to come out of my eyes. Then I felt something rip from my eyes, like scale ripping away from my eyes. Then I saw a road with hills. It was a calm path. But then he touched me. He said, did you experience anything? I say, no, because you see, I don't know what it is, and I don't want him to take it back from me, because I don't understand what was going on. I said, no, I didn't experience nothing. So I went home that evening, or morning, it was the morning service, yeah. I went home, and I went to the mirror. I did like this to my eyes. Well, my eyes are still there. Then the next morning again, I went home. Next morning, I got up, look at the mirror, I opened my eyes. I said, there's nothing, but something happened to my eyes, but I don't understand what's going on. But anyway, as walking in, now that I kind of slowly moving forward, of knowing this Jesus man and what he did and what to do and what not, I continue. They tell me to go to church. They tell me to read. And slowly I'm trying to begin to know who is this Jesus. Then he showed me the pain as time goes on, that overnight it's like a baby walking. He showed me that my life experiences, he turned it into a key. He turned it into a key. Everybody's lives have a key. Everybody has an experience, whether it's sexual molesting or pornography or parents, alcoholic parents or abuse. Everybody have a key, he showed me. He even showed me that in me, we have treasures. He's showing me. I was like, God, why does it hurt? He's showing me life. He's showing me that all my pain, my mom, my dad, no parenting even from the trash can, turned into a key, but it hurts. He said, okay. He put me in a cocoon, like a metamorphosis, and he melted me down. He melted me down and he's shaping me as time goes by, and years, Bible studies, people like you helping me, reading to me, structuring me, and his word, and all those experiences of reaching to other people. He told me this key, my life, your life, my key cannot fit in your life, and her key cannot fit in her life, but everybody's life experiences pain and agony. It's a key to someone else's life. And as he showed me and he molded me and he melted me into a, he turned me into a butterfly. And he said, you're going to be hitting your head through windows like they do. He said, you're going to land in places, say the wrong thing, land in places you're not supposed to land, but you will never stop being a butterfly. How great is our God. How compassionate he is that he prepared that whole street with no food so he could guide us to these people's house. People like you who God prepared, his remnants, always have people doing his bidding to prepare it in a way in the trash can to reach us in his special way so we could take that back, take it home, and still the clothes fits us. What kind of miracle is that? On top of that, this old man, he's 89 years old and still doing God's work. That he filled him with compassion to leave us in that house. Or my sister reaching on time to parade that bread, to put it in my throat. Or send that guy to tell me about Jesus, the man that I didn't know, so I could be here today to give you my message. Hopefully that you all give it to someone else and fill somebody else's life. This compassionate man, his heart's so full of love, died for us on the cross. He's our Savior. He is Jesus. He's the reason for our season today. You know what? If serving God is wrong, I don't want to ever be right. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Pastor Tim, for giving me the opportunity.